So when I began writing earlier this week, right after I talked with our friend and brother Neil Creighton, I thought I'd be telling you about my woeful news, but potentially there is other more pressing news, namely, as I mentioned before, that both Shelley's parents tested COVID positive later in the week, Don on Wednesday, I think, and Phyllis on Friday. And as I mentioned earlier in the service, during our prayer, for those who are not well, Shelley's mom is one with chronic respiratory issues, and so we ask you please to pray for her mother, Phyllis, to recover fully and to get through this without too much discomfort. Pray also for Shelley's dad and her brother Brian, who has taken care of two sick COVID patients at their house in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And please also pray for one Shelley Wilcoxon, as she is a long way away from her mama when her mama is sick. So we'd appreciate your prayers. As many of you know, these have been some tumultuous weeks, perhaps especially this last one. Thanks also for praying for my sister Vonda and my son Christopher. They are both doing better these days. Vonda's out of the hospital, and Chris seems to be doing quite well, too. Now, I've entitled my little talk, Updating the Bethesda Church Family, The Scourge of Sin, Disease, and Death, Our Hope is Christ Alone. That may sound a bit ominous, a bit dramatic, and perhaps it is, but I do hope that it will be one that rings true by the time I finish in 7 or 10 minutes. The Bible says, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. That's Romans 5:12. Without any question, this is an update I wish I didn't have to bring to you this Sunday morning, or any Sunday morning, to be honest with you. Some of you among our leadership and a few select others have already gotten a heads up by virtue of our various relationships. I'm also aware that the proverbial grapevine has been buzzing, and so still more of you know the news. But as your senior pastor, it's important that I model what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the context of a fallen world, but also in the context of God's household, God's family, the church. I can't expect you to be open, honest, and transparent with me if I'm not that way with you first. You may have noticed over the last while, especially the last 9 or 12 months, that my physical movement has changed, especially in my arms and legs. I've not only significantly slowed down, which I have, but my deft, cat-like coordination has been, like, well, less obvious. My family would say you never had cat-like deft coordination. So I've been having some tests and some examinations over the last number of months, starting with our family doctor and culminating in a year-long, that's what it felt like, an hour-long appointment this past week with Dr. Julius Anong, twice a smarty pants with an MD and a PhD, who is also a movement disorders specialist. Dr. Anang took a detailed medical history as well as a detailed movement history over the last few years, and then we moved to the physicality portion of the visit. And with the simple exercises that he asked me to do, it became apparent it was harder for me to complete them than it once would have been, or it would be for you more normal people. After his examination, Dr. Anang diagnosed me on the spot with a Parkinson's-like movement disorder. That's the phrase, a Parkinson's-like movement disorder. He estimated that it's been developing over the last 3 to 5 years, though I've been, or we have been, more aware of it, that something's not right, really, for the last 9 to 12 months or so. So now I'm being treated as a Parkinson's patient. I'm taking the regular course of a medication 3 times daily that hopefully enhances my brain's dopamine production, and I'm going to do my best to live a more active lifestyle. I don't know what it is about these doctors, but exercise seems to be the answer to every question. Exercise, exercise, exercise. They could come up with something more creative than that, it seems to me. But on the medication, Dr. Anang told us that if the medication works, it's actually an indicator that Parkinson's is an accurate diagnosis, to which my sister Cheryl responded, "Does that mean we should pray it doesn't work?" And I said, "I don't know. Maybe. I'm not alone. I know that. I have a wonderful, strong, and loving wife." Where is she? There she is. "Who's raised two wonderful, strong, and loving daughters. I also have my son Christopher, of course. I also have the rest of my family in Kentucky, Ohio, Florida, South Carolina, even as far away as New York City and London. But my family also includes you people. Now, after 13 years, many of whom I'm privileged to call my friends, and I'm still very happy to be your pastor. I also know Parkinsonism is not God's will for me or for you. All disease, all disorder, and all forms and variations of dread and death are the bad fruit of sin accumulated over the ages. Adam's sin, Eve's sin, Cain's sin, my sin, your sin, and all human beings who ever lived on the earth save one, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ. But neither is God surprised. In fact, the scripture makes clear that he permits even those things that are not in his will to use for his good pleasure, and he uses all things for his glory and for our good. I also know that neither I nor my family are the only ones dealing with Parkinsonism, even here in our congregation. So there is one other person, and there have been others before us. So somehow there is a significant comfort in shared suffering. I don't know why, but there is. So I say to you, my friends and family, I take great solace and encouragement from God's word written in the Bible, which also says about life and death, quoting here now Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, listen to this, "who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Finally, I think it's really very important to note that nowhere in Scripture are Christians promised avoidance or deliverance from such physical maladies in this life. I know you can find preachers on television or on the internet or on the radio who will say something different than that. But I'm going to say it again. Christians are not promised avoidance or deliverance from such physical maladies in this life. We pray for healing, and please do, but we hold that God is good and sovereign regardless. Jesus is still Lord. So we come back to this recurring fundamental Christian truth that we hear over and over and over again from the scripture, that our hope can never be in other human beings or in our circumstances, whether good or bad. But rather, our hope in this life is, and he must be our hope for the next, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone is our hope. I sent out an email last Tuesday informing our leadership and a select few others of this unwelcome news that I got on Monday afternoon. And I asked them then, and I ask you now, to join me in prayer. This is kind of an audacious prayer because I don't know what the future holds. But join me in prayer for 12 more good years of productive and fruitful ministry for us all. It'll be up to Jesus, of course, but in some sense, it's also up to you. I do, after all, serve at the pleasure of the Bethesda Church congregation and her leadership. But this is my initial prayer today, this week, without knowing any better or what the future holds for any of us. My thinking is that it'd take me to 70 years old. It's probably time for me to quit by then anyway. And us to an even 25 together. And I really, really do hope for that. In other words, in the words of Monty Python and the Flying Circus, "I'm not dead yet." And I have no plans to go anywhere else anytime soon. In saying that, I do realize it may not be music to everyone's ears, and I'm truly sorry about that, but that's just the way it goes. Thank you for allowing me to share this very personal update with you. Thank you for loving me and my family. Thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. And thank the Lord I got through this without crying. Let's pray together. Lord, we are reminded in many ways that the Christian life is not a theoretical undertaking. that the hope we have in Christ is real. The hope in Christ we have is in many ways, despite troubles that we have in this world. In fact, Jesus promised, in this world you will have trouble, speaking to his disciples, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So help us to live faithfully and joyfully in this life, in this world, even as we await our uniting with you, our union with you, that will solve all of the problems that sin has caused in the world and continues to cause, including Parkinson's. Lord, we still pray for those who are struggling with COVID or other disorders and diseases. Lord, help us to understand that suffering in this life is often your way of getting our attention and also bringing glory to yourself and bringing us good too. Help us to be faithful in that. In Jesus' name, amen.